Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. Good evening and happy Monday to everybody. I almost said happy Friday, which would be silly because it's Good Friday. But happy belated Passover, happy belated Easter, Happy belated Good Friday, like I just said. Happy Monday. I hope everybody had a wonderful holiday weekend. But it's Monday, and it's 8:05 p.m. on the East Coast. This is our regular time slot now, 8 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern. And this is Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Pogo Man. And along with me, before we go any further, let me bring him on the air. My co-host, he's mad. He's a Viking. He's mad Viking.
All right, we're now doing a check. Who are still suffering from chocolate food coma? Raise your hand. Come on.
Raise your hand. And it's worse today. I went to my pharmacy. They have 40% off because the shelves are still full. You know, it's funny. Saturday night, my stepdad went to the supermarket. They overstocked on Peeps. They were handing out free Peep, packages of Peeps to people.
Oh!
So you just walk through the front door of the store. No matter what you were doing, here, you get Peeps. You get Peeps, and everybody gets free Peeps. You know what I like to do with Peeps? You take a Peep, you put in the microwave for about 20 seconds. Somehow, I'm the only one in my family who knows about that. Did you ever do it? You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. No, I never did it.
I did it. No, I do too, but we just tried it one time. I think it was me and my stepsister. We tried it one time. It works. They expand and then deflate, and they look like a... I don't know if you... I think we tried eating it. You can eat it, but it looks like a smooch flat top. Alto, stop poking me with that stick. Stop poking me. Now what is he doing?
I don't know. I'm on multiple screens. So.
There. I'm poking him too. Now I'm poking him with a stick. Yeah, I hope you're happy. I'm poking his sneakers. Yeah, I hope you're happy. We don't know. I don't know, Alan. I'm trying to figure that out. I don't know. One of us just, I don't know. Siphon nightmares. Good. He siphoned my nightmares away. I could sleep comfortably tonight. But my pharmacy, Walgreens, candy was 40% off today. Wasn't it Sovereign Rain who used to go and buy all the, like, what is that
mm-hmm.
noise? Hello?
Now, yeah,
she would go
here.
Buy all the Easter candy?
Yep, she says she's like, not doing it this year.
Oh, bullshit.
I'm not going to claim one way or another for obvious reasons. Either way, I'm wrong.
This is where she pulls up to the humble state of Mad Viking and Sovereign Reign. Honey, you got to help me bring the bags. How many bags do you have? All of them. Wait a minute. What bags? All the candy bags. They were on sale. 40% off.
Again, like I said, I'm going to be a good boy. I'm going to stay out.
That's right. And... of course, this is a joyous day. I have HBO Max. Today is the Batman Day. The Batman came out on HBO Max. Woo-hoo! but, before we go any further, last week we did it. This week we must do it too. For tomorrow is Alan's, our very own Alan's birthday. Alan, this one's for you. Happy birthday, buddy. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, dear Alan. Happy birthday to you. Let's make it. Happy happy birthday. That's right. Also, a little flower teddy bear. Turn. Well, you just got another one. You just got another one. I wish real life was like that. Very cool. There you go. Happy birthday. We need a cake for Alan later. All right. There you go. Happiest of birthdays, Alan.
There you go.
That was for you while Alto was siphoning off nightmares off of everybody so we could sleep well tonight. Now let's see. Who's here with us in the WCOC studios in Millennium City? Our own birthday boy, Alan. Why is the birthday tomorrow? Alan is there. Silver Egret is hanging out on top of one of the cameras. Alto Mark 7V2. And, of course, myself and Mad Viking. Natalia Kromstock was here earlier. Let's see. In the chat, in the Blog Talk chat room, Bloody Wolf 161. And, of course,
yep.
We're there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to be there because, you know, we got to host the chat room. And, of course, in our sister city, Paragon City of Heroes. Right now, it's just the two of us. So if you're over in City of Heroes in Paragon City, come on over. We are on the Excelsior server on the steps of City Hall in Atlas Park. I'm holding my torch as usual.
We could do the History of the World Part 1. We got nothing.
We got nothing for sale. I got a torch. I'll sell you this torch if you come hang. I'll give you this torch if you come hang out with us for a little while. You get a torch? I will give you this torch. It's lit, so just be careful how you handle it.
We got to be careful because if you see the chatter, the general, they've gone back into the political debate, so it's like, gotta be careful now.
Oh, the activists. Self-defense classes. Come on, ladies. Your purses will thank you. Take a flyer. Yes. There you go. Yes, how we miss them. So, in the world of superheroism, oh, if you're Morbius, oh, you want to be a creature of the night now. You don't want to be seen during the daylight because the critics, the critics are sucking the blood out of you. They're sucking the life out of your movie because I don't think there's been one good review about your movie.
More pans than an IHOP.
Oh, that was bad. It's just, yeah, it's not good. It's not good. And we're just counting down days to May 6th for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. But this summer, we're going to have Avengers versus X-Men versus Eternals. Oh, my. In the comic books. That seems to be the big crossover event going to happen in Marvel. And that's going to be coming up very soon. Of course, coming up very, very soon, that same weekend, May 7th, is Free Comic Book Day. And there's one you want to get because I think that same weekend is the 2022 version of the Gala event. The Mutants Gala event is about to happen. So last year's was a big hit. Hold on a second. Sorry. There's dog barking. Dog barking.
Okay.
Now, last year, should I give spoilers on the big what it led into?
Go ahead.
The trial of Magneto. It led into the trial of Magneto. It led
Part
into
two.
The return of. It led into the trial of Magneto, Scarlet Witch. It led from her being the traitor into the Redeemer. She brought back every mutant. Remember that House of M, and she said no more mutants.
Yep.
Well, apparently, she found the spell. She brought all of them back.
Again.
So she went from back from being the traitor to the Redeemer. She was redeemed and forgiven. It was very cool. It was a happy ending. It was like, holy cow. It was like, she did what? I was like, wow, I didn't expect that. I was like, very cool. It was a very happy ending for the summer, at the end of the summer, the end of the year for the mutants and Scarlet Witch. This whole time, she was like, you traitor. You bitch. And wow. It was a very good year for Scarlet Witch. She had her own series on Netflix. On Disney Plus. She was redeemed of her sins with House of M, with the trial of Magneto. And I hear they might do a season two. And she's going to be in the Multiverse of Madness movie.
I like the line in that preview. It'll get you back on the lunch boxes.
That's right. That's right. And she has a cool action figure. So. There you go.
And we've seen a couple of new previews. The first one was, we thought was new, She-Hulk.
So oh, yeah. Disappointing.
It's the same one.
Mm-hmm.
Then I just saw the new Thor preview. Okay. I'm questioning if that's Dave Bautista as Drax. I'm raising the question.
Kang, you know, is going to be the new baddie in the next wave of Marvel movies. So does he have, is this his doing? I guess how they're justifying any changes to all the current movies.
You know, that's a way around it. Okay, I'll give you that. And yes, we did see Jane Foster Thor in the preview.
That's a direct correlation to the comic books storyline a couple years ago, recent. So,
and according is like, you know, this is supposed to be the end of original Thor superheroing. Yeah, right. Come on, offer enough money. Chris Hemsworth is back.
Like I say, Multiverse of Madness. They're gonna find a way to bring Robert Downey Jr. back as Iron Man and Chris Evans back as Captain America. Have you seen the movie Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds yet? Have you seen that movie yet?
Well, saw it on CinemaSins.
Okay. Did you see at the end he had a fight scene with Dude?
Yep.
And he pulls out Captain America's shield. And they go, and you see Chris Evans sitting in a coffee house watching. He goes, hey, what the? I thought that was great. And they're playing the Avengers music when he put out. Of course, not to be beaten. 2 seconds later, he pulls out. You hear the Star Wars music when he pulls out a lightsaber. And she goes, that's right, bitch. He's got a lightsaber. But the point is, Chris Evans is sitting there watching the watching him use Captain America's shield. He goes, what the? And he gets pissed. I'm telling you, that's the moment he decided he's going to come back and play Captain America one more time. And he could do it in that movie. Because if you watch What If, there's a morally questionable Doctor Strange. I'm hoping he's in this movie. And if so, will some of the other characters from What If make an appearance in this movie?
It is a possibility. It's a possibility.
Oh.
Well, we do have updates. I still have one that I was holding from last time.
Okay. I do not have an update, so if you want to do your update, take it away.
Okay. That's very rare. All right.
I know.
It is Ship of Heroes, Pogo Man's favorite successor.
I will never go near that
sarcasm,
ship. I enjoy sailing.
Sarcasm.
I enjoy sailing. I enjoy going in the water, but you'll never get me on that ship.
The Plasma Cannon Defense is the subject here. The Plasma Cannon Defense is an exciting challenge mission, one of the missions currently under development. We are using it here to illustrate the massive size of the spaceship FHS Justice. A cramped shuttlecraft, it is not. We are also adding to our social media presence. Ship of Heroes now present on 8 social media platforms, in addition to the forums on the Ship of Heroes website. We'll often get questions about the scale of the Justice. Many people hear that the game is set aboard a spaceship from Star Trek or perhaps Firefly. But Ship of Heroes is taking inspiration from massive vessels like the spaceship in Independence Day or the Star Destroyers of Star Wars. The massive cannon room you see in the article in question helps to convey the sheer size that ship can reach in the 25th century. The Justice is over 20 miles long. It has dozens of cannons plus other weapons. So do Nagdellian motherships. To give you an idea of the picture in question, there is a person that's roughly 5 to 6 feet tall and is being dwarfed by the plasma cannon. She can literally walk into it. I would not suggest it because someone hits the button. Toast. Cheap teleportation makes it practical to maintain and defend such large areas, but hostile boarding parties are a constant threat. In this mission, you'll face waves of attackers with specialized AI goals, so some will behave differently than others. It will be a lot of fun to play through and try all kinds of strategies, both solo and with friends. Any badge hunters can expect to fight a few new ones in a mission like this as well. Are you the type to fire the big cannon to disintegrate the first wave of attackers the moment they teleport in? Make sure not to hit any... make sure not to hit any friendlies. I know that yes was for something else, but you timed it perfectly.
Well, when I gave my answer? Fire the gun! Fire the gun!
Alternatively, will you rely on your own powers just to prove that you can? In other news, we're expanding to provide updates on the sites. Our video is available on YouTube and Rumble. They're very convenient because we can also only have to upload each video. You can also check out posts and ask questions on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, Parler, and even LinkedIn. So I'm
fire the
like,
plasma! Fire the plasma!
I'm going like YouTube and Rumble. They had to emphasize this. And then they also had to do Parler. So, got to do the voice. Okay, look, Ship of Heroes, it's going to be big. It's going to be huge. It's got the big plasma cannons just for my big hands. You got to do it on Rumble or Parler. Don't go to Twitter. Don't go to Facebook here. You know, it's big news there.
No,
just go to Parler or you Rumble.
Do you remember on Teen Titans Go, he's talking about this big gun that Cyborg made, this big light, this big cannon?
Mm-hmm.
Beast Boy did not hit the red button. I'm sorry. I can't help it. Get away from there.
All right. And finally, we'd like to remind everyone what's coming up in the next couple of months. We put out our upcoming feature beta as we talk about future misses and more D-tailed. Get that whistle.
You want my whistle? Oh, hold on.
Yeah,
D-tailed. Wait, was it tail, T-A-I-L? Like, is there something with animals?
It's supposed to be one word detailed, but they put a hyphen on between
well, maybe,
the E and the
ah,
tail.
Screw it.
Yeah, that's a whistle. We found
Every
a
take
new
a drink.
Ship of Heroes is going to continue the drinking game. There we go. Pokemon's going, okay, now they have a purpose in life. As a sneak peek, they will show off a clip from one of the missions they're currently working on. It's called Treasure Chest.
Oh.
And then stay tuned for the next newsletter. And remember,
yeah,
if you go on Rumble and Parler, it's big, it's huge.
Oh.
The current minigame of City Heroes. No, this is Ship of Heroes. As Alto is asking.
All right. Non-City of Heroes, Ship of Heroes.
Mm-hmm. And before anyone starts bringing in any politics, me and Pogo have lived in New York. We have heard Trump longer than you. We have a right to joke.
I remember when Trump wrote his book, The Art of the Deal, and then went bankrupt.
I can top that. I can remember his episode of Different Strokes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember when he was making his Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, that's how far back. I remember in the 80s, too, when he was making all those TV appearances.
Yeah, but Different Strokes was the 70s.
I'm just saying, I remember. My mom was a fan of his, because we used to, when we used to go to Atlantic City, we would stay at Trump Marina.
Oh.
Because my mom got comped like crazy. And the last couple times we went, we'd stayed in the VIP room. But what's funny is he had Trump water. It was called Trump water because it was actually Trump. And then underneath it, in little letters, say Marina. it wasn't Marina water from the sea. It was actually very good bottled water. They even had a
Trump water. It's good. It's huge.
They even had a Donald Trump action figure. You pull on it, and it said like 12 different things. This is long before he did long, just like 10 years before he even thought about getting into politics. Welcome to my casino. It's huge. It's fabulous. So,
yeah, like I said, if anyone wants to throw in politics, you're talking to two New Yorkers. We've heard Trump longer before politics. Done.
Right. And not everything we are discussing about Trump is politics. Sometimes we're just making fun of him. Okay, I'm being handed something.
He could take a joke. I will say that. He could take a joke.
Wait. I just been handed a link to The Matrix Awakens, an Unreal Engine 5 experience, full demo gameplay. So apparently The Matrix Awakens is going to be an online game?
Okay.
I don't know, huh? Which is 28 minutes long.
Well, so we'll review it later.
It says enter. Okay. Hold on. All right. The guy is entering. The Matrix. Cinematic, at least.
Okay.
It's Neo, but it's not his voice.
I'm trying to think who of the voices I know does Neo. And I want to say
Keanu Reeves. No, no, it's definitely him in the. It's the cinematography of him.
Oh, okay.
But it's not his voice of.
Well, that's what I mean. There's one actor that does do his voice pretty close. And I'm trying to remember his name. He's one of the usuals that you get on the Twisted Tunes gang. And
Wait, hold on. I'm trying to listen to see if it's him. Hold on. He says it's him because, you know, as he's older, his voice has changed. So maybe it is him. I don't know. It's hard to tell.
I couldn't tell you.
It is him. Maybe it is him. And now Carrie-Anne Moss is in this video.
Okay.
You know what it is? When he did the John Wick movies, he did an interview, and his voice was so unlike Keanu's. I'm like, what the hell did Keanu do to his voice?
Well, remember, video doesn't do too well on radio.
But still, no. I was watching it on TV.
All right, so yeah, but that takes care of the updates.
All right.
And Pogo's
All
now
right.
happy
so
that I've... Super Heroes is the new drinking game.
Yeah. All right, I will save that and watch that later. Oh, I just looked over. I forgot I had Raw on. Liv and Rhea Ripley had their tag team title match. They're not happy. They're arguing.
Okay.
I guess they lost. So maybe this is the week that she turns heel.
I keep hearing now that it also could be the Alexa Bliss.
Oh, there she goes. She just attacked Liv. Liv was walking out of the ring. Rhea attacked, pounding her. Yeah, there it is. There's the heel turn. Doesn't mean she's joining that stable.
It's like Liv Morgan kind of like the bad luck schlep rock.
It's like she gets his horrible partner. But you know what it is? It makes her look like the weak member of the team. She's not the one who got pinned. But it's like Liv busts her ass for a title. Then she joins the tag team. Her partner loses. It makes her look bad.
I mean, if anything, have Liv Morgan go for the edge thing.
No, because the fans love her. So, you didn't hear what happened this weekend.
No.
Somebody pretended to be Liv Morgan, saying they needed money. Some guy sold his house to get her money. Why a guy would do that anyway? Is beyond
me. Most stuff is on the internet, and it can be easily done. That's the scary part.
Right, but the point is, somebody asking you for help. Are you going to sell your house to help the person? That's a little ridiculous. So check this out now. You know how they always have Backlash, the pay-per-view after WrestleMania?
Yep.
Well, now the brilliant people at WWE have decided to call it WrestleMania Backlash. Because the fans can't, because surely don't
AFK.
Understand what the Backlash back. What it's backlash from, you know, so we have to help the fans understand what it's backlash from, because they don't understand that it's backlash from WrestleMania, right? So,
hell, all you gotta do is play the what's the ECW former announcer, Joey
Joey Styles.
Yeah, when he went off script and quit. It makes it very clear where backlash comes right after WrestleMania.
He goes, what I thought was great was this. I can't call them wrestlers. I have to call them superstars. Because they're not wrestlers anymore. They're entertainers. Now, I can't call them what they do, because they don't wrestle in the ring. They entertain. When I was in ECW, I called a three-hour pay-per-view by myself. No, apparently I'm not good enough. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, apparently, I'm not good enough to sit there with two other people and do a pay-per-view.
I was like, all right, I'm new. It's WrestleMania. I'm a company guy. I'm not good enough for backlash. That's what
That was great. That was great.
I mean, if you want to advertise backlash, just bring him back.
Oh, my God. That would be great. Oh, and today they released the yearly salaries of the McMahons and Triple H.
Oh.
Well, apparently they only make barely over $1.5 million a year.
Gosh darn it.
Until you get their incentives and stock options.
And their bonuses. And actually,
just the merchandise bonuses and this and that. And then all of a sudden, they each make between $3.5 to $4 million a year. But they had to let 83 wrestlers go last year. Because, you know, money-wise, you know, because the stockholders needed to see a profit. Oh, by the way, $1 million of that $4 million they make were in stock options. I wonder who the majority of the stockholders, who the majority stockholders were.
Not Elon Musk, I can tell you that.
There you go. I bet it's Alto. I bet he's a majority stockholder in WWE. Who can sit here with his arms crossed, all happy with himself.
Anyone can do some better scripts at this point. Hell, I was throwing out ideas when we were making our predictions, and you thought they were better than what we got.
Oh, God. Yes. Well, you know what they have? They have the MyGM thing. That's the part I love about those games. You're the GM of the company. You control what happens. You make the matches.
All right. I'm gonna grab a scene from – I want to say it's South Park. It's South Park. Controlled by manatees, the scripts. The manatees go to the bucket of balls on one side, grab the ball, bring it over to the other side, and then you figure out who's going to be in the match and how they're going to win.
All right. Oh, have you heard the newest thing too with them? Three wrestlers in NXT had their name changed for this coming episode, for this week coming up.
Uh-oh.
Vince McMahon no longer wants a wrestler using their real name or a name they used on the independent circuit.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is pretty much every wrestler in NXT. And half the wrestlers in Raw and SmackDown. Elon Musk owns Twitter now? No, he was refused. Last time I checked, he was refused.
He has 9%, which makes him a major stockholder. Now, he's offered to buy it all. I don't know if Trump has a stock option. There'll be an old one from when did he do the hair versus hair match?
Oh, that was in the hair versus hair was like mid-90s, I think.
Yeah. It was the Attitude Era. I do remember that one.
Yeah, or early 2000s. That was Bobby Lashley against somebody or other. God. I don't even remember. Hold on. I am looking this up right now.
I will say this. Vince should never lose the hair.
Somebody said looking back on it, Donald Trump should have lost that match.
Yeah, but Vince should not cut his hair. No. It was literally the height of the hair shrunk him. That's serious. Take a look at what he did when he had the full head of hair, and then when he shaved it, it was like 3 inches of his height just went out.
I'm looking this up about Twitter. Hold on. If this is breaking news to me. I know it's a takeover battle. That was 4 days ago. Hold on.
Last I knew, decision.
Oh, 3 days. Hold on. 4 days ago, he offered to buy Twitter. 3 days ago, Twitter counters Elon Musk's takeover bid with a poison pill.
Mm-hmm. Here's something we haven't heard since the 80s. Man, what's this Altos going here? Vampire Survivors. Vampire Survivors, only $3 on Steam.
Okay. I don't see anything about him actually getting anything.
Well, until then, we'll just leave it like that then.
Oh, it says here 9 hours ago, Musk says Twitter board will be paid nothing if he acquires the company.
Anyway. Before,
oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if he actually owns it yet or not, so.
Let's see, is there anyone around us here on the City of Heroes while you have an AFK?
Oh, I have an AFK?
Yep.
Hold on a second.
Nope. I guess people are still having chocolate food coma.
I guess so. They're on their sugar comas and leftover food from dinners last night. Okay. Let me see if I can find anything from Superhero Hype News.
There's always that doldrum time of news when it comes to comics where if we
it's
do say
right
something,
about
it's going to be a spoiler. And we're trying to avoid doing the spoiler.
Right. Well, oh, interesting. Oh, hold on. Wait. This I heard about. I didn't get to read the story, and I saw this, and I went, huh? Okay. Okay, so apparently I missed this in February. Back in February, word broke that HBO Max is planning a Wonder Twins original movie. And apparently it's happening much sooner than expected, since the leading roles have already been filled. Via the rap, KJ Apa, who plays Archie on Riverdale, has been cast as Van, while Isabel May, no idea who she is, has been cast as his sister Jaina. The Wonder Twins are a pair of alien siblings who were created in 1977 for the all-new Super Friends Hour. They were sidekicks to the Super Friends and audience surrogate characters. Separately, the twins have no powers of their own, but when they make physical contact, Zan can change into liquid forms, while Jaina can transform into various animals. He also had a space monkey named Gleek. Appa is best known, as I said, for playing Archie Andrews for 6 seasons on the CW's Riverdale. He has also appeared in The Hate U Give, A Dog's Purpose, Songbird, and he is slated to star in the upcoming film West Pointer. May recently led the cast of the Yellowstone prequel series, 1883, whose prior credits include Young Sheldon and the Netflix original series, Alexa and Katie. let's see. It's unclear if the Wonder Twins movie will be a comedy or a more serious take on the characters. Yeah, it's going to be a comedy. Who are we kidding? Come on. Although Zan and Jaina have been incorporated into the DC Comics book universe, they've rarely been taken seriously as heroes. That's my point. Essentially, they have never fully shed their Super Friends image, but they have appeared in The Flash and Smallville. They were in The Flash? Oh, right. Yeah. They were there. They weren't like the Wonder Twins. They were like college kids.
Mm.
Black Adam screenwriter Adam Stickiel is writing and directing Wonder Twins. The film will begin production this summer in Atlanta. HBO Max hasn't set a premiere date for it yet. Okay. I just think of the G-Force comedy skit they did on Attack of the Show. Whatever.
I can top that. Teen Titans Go! We want Jaina!
Yes, I was going to say that. Yes. But not you, Zan. But
we're
I need him back to make my powers.
Powers doesn't work without me. All right, we have a way around this.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Teen Titans Sour.
Hello, Teen Titans Sour. Yeah. No, this isn't the Batcave. This is Teen Titans Tower. No, I don't have the number for Batcave, and even if I did, I couldn't give it to you.
I do want to point out that we are still being cheated because of that teaser after the big the crossover on DCW. And... You know which ending I'm talking about.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, half those shows have been canceled already, so.
They could at least just give them a show. Silver
Well, here's the problem.
Yes. I almost forgot about that one. Yes. Form of Wonder Woman's bathwater. I forgot about that
one. Here's the problem. Well, here's the problem. The CW might be sold. All these shows might be sold off. And now, hold on, I'm going to read this to you. The Flash may end after an abbreviated 9th season. It says here, earlier on Wednesday, April 13th, so last week, word broke that Jesse L. Martin is leaving The Flash to potentially star in his own NBC series. Martin is also likely to appear in at least some of The Flash's season 9 episodes. However, Martin's departure as a series regular may not be the only bad news for fans of the series. According to The Hollywood Reporter, sources say there's been talk of The Flash coming to a conclusion with an abbreviated final season. This is not entirely unexpected. Back in January, Grant Gustin signed a new deal to return for Season 9 as Barry Allen, The Flash. But this contract limited Gustin's involvement to only 15 episodes. Additionally, the report at the time indicated that Gustin turned down a multi-year deal in favor of a single additional season. With Martin's departure, Gustin, Candace Patton, and Daniel Pannebaker are the only original cast members remaining. Neither Patton nor Pannebaker have announced new deals for Season 9. Regardless, they are expected to return. At 9 seasons, The Flash will become the Arrowverse's longest-running series. But this comes at a time when the future of the Arrowverse is in question. The CW has yet to renew DC's Legends of Tomorrow or Batwoman for new seasons. There's also no word yet on whether Naomi will get a second season. For now, only Superman and Lois is set to get a third season. A decision about Stargirl Season 4 may come during or after the third season this summer. If the Flash TV series does come to an end in late 2022 or early 2023, it would also clear the way for the Flash movie to be the only live-action version of the character in an ongoing capacity. However, Ezra Miller's recent legal problems are reportedly causing Warner Brothers Pictures to reconsider his future in the role. Mm-hmm. For now, the Flash film is still set to arrive in June 2023.
And I'm reading about the Hawaii arrest. Disorderly conduct and harassment in a karaoke bar, where he was yelling obscenities while bar patrons sang karaoke, then grabbed the microphone from a 23-year-old woman singing karaoke and later lunged at a 32-year-old man playing darts. He was released after posting $500 bail. Things get weirder. Miller was apparently staying with a Hawaiian couple, and they later filed for a restraining order against Miller, saying the actor burst into the bedroom of the petitioner and threatened. The alleged male was saying, "I will bury you and your slut wife." Says the actor, including Social Security card, wallet, passport, driver's license, and bank cards. All right. Now, I do DJ and also did karaoke. When you get tossed out of a bar that has a great band or has a whole lot of women, yeah, you kind of get, right. I will say, you know, whether it's good or not, you know, kind of like a shining moment. When you get kicked out of a karaoke bar, people just look at you and go, "Dude, really?" Kicked out of a karaoke bar. That's called hang your head
when you get kicked out of a
shame.
Yeah, when you get kicked out of one of those, what the hell did you do? Are you kidding me? That's got to be like, you know, when that gets on your record, that's got to be the most distasteful, disgusting thing. All right, one more piece of news before we open.
And the thing is, if you try to go to another locals bar, no, all the bartenders and waitresses and the cooks and the they all talk. They know who you are. But you go in, they go like, "He's the guy that got kicked out of the karaoke place."
Wow. Okay. So, I don't know what you were watching yesterday, but on BBC and BBC America, we got a Doctor Who special. So, for those who watched it, it was The Sea Devils Returned. But more importantly, it wasn't the special itself. It was the preview for the next special that was all important. And in this, we're getting familiar faces return in teaser for Jodie Whittaker's final Doctor Who special. So, doctors come and doctors go in the long-running BBC sci-fi series Doctor Who. That's how the series has lasted nearly 60 years. And also why Jodie Whittaker's final Doctor Who special will pave the way for a new Doctor. But first, the Doctor is going to revisit some old friends that she hasn't seen since the original series. The BBC America and BBC have released the first trailer for the currently untitled Doctor Who BBC Centenary Special. And the biggest surprise is that it features Janet Fielding as Tegan Jovanka and Sophie Aldred as Ace. Wow. Within the original series, Tegan was a companion for the 4th and 5th Doctors, while Ace was the 7th Doctor's companion. Both Fielding and Aldred have revisited their roles for Big Finish's Doctor Who audio adventures. But This marks their first official return to the show in decades, and the doctor may need their help since this is the day that she dies. The trailer is light on details about the actual plot. Regardless, we do see that Daleks, Cybermen, and even the Master, who is played by Sacha Dhawan, will be on hand. Additionally, the doctor appears to be calling out for Yaz as she regenerates. At the moment, we don't know who the next doctor will be, but that announcement should occur in the months ahead. Doctor Who's next special will premiere this fall on BBC and BBC America. So I think that's cool. We're going to get Ace and Tegan, who we haven't seen, like I said, since the classic Who years, and that ended in 1989 on BBC.
Now, there's been a lot of rumors
and Ace,
that they...
Ace was a teenager back then, so...
There's been a lot of rumors that they're bringing back Tennant.
Well, that's because David T. Russell... David T. Russell is going to be the new showrunner. Did they bring back Tennant to play the Doctor, or just for the special, for this episode?
Either or.
Well, you know, he has regenerated twice. You know, the one time he was supposed to regenerate and he refused, if you remember.
Yep.
He forced himself to stay as Tennant. So, and you know, they've done specials in the past for the 50th anniversary. You know, it was Tennant, Smith, John Hurt as the War Doctor. Oh, and of course, everybody's favorite. Ever Tom Baker showed up at the end, which is very cool. There were rumors he was going to show up. He showed up at the end for the big fanboy moment. Go,
you know what would be funny if they grabbed that comedy skit, that one comedy skit.
I know the one you're talking about.
Where into I forgot his name.
It's like
the
nine or ten doctors in like 5 minutes. I know who you mean. He was Johnny English also.
Mm-hmm.
Rowan Atkinson,
yeah. I'll go like, all right, I would watch this.
I think that would
be
hilarious.
If you
see
anything, you're going to lose it. You know it.
Hold on. I think it would be hilarious if right before he turns into the doctor, you see Rowan Atkinson's face for like a second. And go, oh, not that face. Oh, that would be great.
Because if you remember the episode, he did it rather well.
Yeah, he did. They did a great episode. And what's funny is in that one, at the end, he turned into a woman.
Oh, he turned into one of the Ab Fab girls.
Right. Yes. He did it first.
Yeah, well, they had Black Adder. Black Adder is a Rowan Atkinson. Yeah. let's see. It was him. It was the wizard who was disguised as a chair in the Harry Potter movie. Then he turned into what's that guy's? He was always in the romantic comedy ones.
Hugh Grant. I think Hugh Grant. Yeah, it was a lot of famous British actors who showed up for that. But what I think was funny was the Master. Was it the Master? Or something. He kept falling down into the sewer.
Yeah. Yep.
The bottomless pit. Oh, no, not again.
Or if you really want to throw something in, April Fool's joke, go off a YouTube video. You have Doctor Who. It's going like, we got to find out, we got to do this. Then all of a sudden you see Holly from Red Dwarf on the screen.
Oh, that would be funny. That would be hilarious.
Well, it's that time once again.
Yes, right. I have the book from the tome. I have my entries picked because I was going through the book earlier today. We still have quite a few entries to go through, too. I thought we were almost done. No, we still got quite a few entries to go through. It's funny you mentioned Red Dwarf, because our first entry from the Golden Age. No. I'm just going to read the name of the character. It's the Black Dwarf. I thought that was so weird. You call it the Red Dwarf. You mentioned Red Dwarf. I'm like, ah, it's so funny because the first character is the Black Dwarf.
just,
the Black Dwarf was
image,
created.
I just had an image of what a shriek. What a shriek.
Oh, God. And what's funny is it doesn't look dwarfish. It does, he doesn't look black. He doesn't look dwarfish at all. So you'll get the gist of this in a moment. It's kind of like, huh? How'd they get the name for this one? All right. So created by Paul Gattuso and Dana Dutch, possibly. Debuted in Spotlight Comics, number one, Harry A. Chesler Publishing, November 1944. The character is also known as the Blue Monk. And it's phrase, hey, shorty. But also known for saying, that gun in your pocket gives me ideas. Bad ideas. I hope it's a gun. Hey now.
Hugh Rain. I know this going, like, I know he sent me an invite. Come on, get me in there now. Come on.
I should. Oh my goodness. All right. So the head-scratching pseudonym of this short-statured superhero seems to imply a mashup of two distinct schools of exploitation cinema. But whatever drove the Black Dwarf to adopt his outlandish outfit? Oh, come on. Yeah, you know, I'm reading here.
It just turned.
Well, actually, no. It says I've been away from my keyboard for a while. That's so weird.
You went yellow to gray.
I know. Okay, there we go. I'll check back before my next entry. Okay, there we go. Okay, but whatever drove the Black Dwarf to adopt his outlandish outfit, not to mention his war on crime, remains up to the reader's best guess. For his motives went unexplained. Professional sportsman Shorty, in quotations, Wilson, as his nickname implies, stood about shoulder high to the average man. But when this former All-American football star donned his gaucho hat, black robes, and twin automatic pistols, he became the Black Dwarf, scourge of the underworld. His only slightly below average height, notwithstanding, like the Shadow, whose singular outfit that the Black Dwarf's costume seemed to intentionally recall, quote-unquote Shorty, was aided by a team of agents. His crew consisted of ex-criminals converted to the side of law and order, or at least devoted to ushering crooks to an early grave. The Black Dwarf's gang played rough. They included demolitions expert Nitro, acrobat and stuntman Human Fly, or Fly for short, and pickpocket named Dippy. Hey, Dippy, dip your hands in that pocket. And the dwarf's girlfriend, the lovely but deadly Arsenic. Colorful cast aside, the highlight of the Black Dwarf's adventures lay in the language. Tough-talking dames and mugs threw around street-level slang with such fluidity that some of the better examples seem almost like poetry. Ixnay on the horseplay, my noble knave, warns the dwarf while facing a foe of intimidating stature, or I'll pop lead pellets into your gizzard. You can't play blind man's bluff when your shoes squeak, chum, he advises on another occasion before flattening a foe by adding, take a bite of knuckle pie. Wow.
Oh, God.
When sharp wordplay failed to get results, the dwarf and his agents were happy to resort to violence. Few other comics of the era would have portrayed the hero cheerily firing a bullet through a bad guy's shooting hand, or dangling a ne'er-do-well by a noose around the neck. But the Black Dwarf had no qualms about leaving a trail of dead bodies in his wake. Circumstances weren't so final for the Black Dwarf, though. When Harry A. Chesler's line of comics shut down, some of his properties were licensed by publisher St. John and given a second life under new names. With the original art for his adventures relettered and recolored, the dwarf renewed his war crime as the Blue Monk, with his girlfriend now donning the more sinister sobriquet, Satana. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. And that is the story of the Black Dwarf.
I just had images of the Blue Raja from Mystery Man. It's like, you call yourself the Blue Raja, and I don't see any blue.
But you're not blue.
Green. I get yellow. Got a little
That's
bit
what's
of orange.
You're showing it here. He's wearing green robes, a red cape, and a red hat, gaucho hat. Like, where is the black? Oh, this next one is great. All right, this next character. We're in the Silver Age now. Created by Whitney Ellsworth and George Papp, otherwise known as Congo Bill. Robert Bernstein and Howard Sherman created Congorilla. Debuted in More Fun Comics number 56, otherwise known as DC Comics, June 1940. There is no relation to Saha Rattlesnake, Japanda, Minneapolis Lizard, Arctic Ice Capybara. Now, his saying is, my head's spinning. Something's happening to me. And his name, Congorilla. Yes, the character is named Congorilla.
Actually, there was
the
a Congorilla in the Justice League before one of the several reboots. So this could be the same character. Keep going.
Well, it says here, DC Comics, June 1940. So hang on. Okay. By some reckoning, Congorilla, that is his human alter ego Congo Bill, is one of the oldest characters in American comic books. The Jungle Adventurer debuted in 1940 and was a recurring backup feature in a handful of DC Comics titles, including a long-running stint in Action Comics, alongside Superman from 1941 through 1959. Excuse me. The pith-helmeted hero series was only moderately popular, but it still managed to earn Bill his own Columbia Pictures movie serial in 1949. Congo Bill even managed to briefly occupy his own eponymous title in a staggered 7-issue run that continued his jungle adventures over 12 months. Eventually, the safari motif ran its course, and Bill's star was fading fast. Not even the addition of a kid sidekick, Janu, the Jungle Boy, a wild orphan with whom Bill started to pal around in 1954, could reverse his fortunes. As jungle explorers were on the way out, superheroes were on their way back in. Cape Crusaders were staging a comeback, and Congo Bill wasn't to be excluded. Bill's superpowers were appropriately enough, rooted in the jungle magic of Africa. In January 1959, he attended the deathbed of his beloved beloved native pal, Chief Kawolo, who gifted Bill with a magic ring. When rubbed, the ring transferred the mind of its wearer into the body of whoever wore its twin, and vice versa. The present owner of the magic ring, a gigantic, extremely powerful, and exceptionally intelligent golden ape. In a wild twist on the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde formula, Bill would exchange minds with a golden gorilla dubbed Congorilla. Whenever danger struck, his boy assistant Janu would take precautions to cage Bill's human body beforehand so that the ape's primitive mind would not inadvertently damage its human host. Unfortunately, Congo Bill's reincarnation as a crime-fighting gorilla didn't extend the life of his feature. After a few more years of body switch baddie bashing, both Congo Bill and Congorilla were retired. It's hard to keep a good gorilla down, though. Over the years, Bill and his simian alter ego have continued to make cameo and guest appearances in assorted DC Comics, with Congorilla briefly earning a turn as a member of the Justice League of America.
Okay.
As you said. There you go.
Yeah, that was the Nightwing Batman-led Justice League.
Oh, okay.
And I was hoping that one would continue because, I mean, if you think about it, that should have been the natural order of the superheroes. because, I mean, they've all predicted, you know, just as much as Superman is what people look up to, Nightwing is the one everyone respected.
Right, right. Okay. We now have our Flash Golden Age, and I have seen this one for the longest time. I don't think I've read this one, so here we go. I don't think I've read this one. Looking at this one, I'm not sure I read this one. Okay, this one is the AAU Superstar. My supernatural powers tell me there's trouble
afoot
now.
Yeah, you did. Yep. Yeah, you did. I remember this shoe
story. I did read this one. Ow, I did read this one. Yeah, that's right. Yes, because it's the foot. All right, it's a sneaker one. Ow. Okay, hold on, hold on. I'll find another one. Right, because it's the super. It's the shoe one.
Yeah.
Somehow I was thinking it was something else. I was thinking it was a sniper one. All right, hold it. Hold everything. There's plenty more in the modern age. Hold it. Nobody move.
As long as we have the 90s, there's going to be.
Did I do Brother Voodoo? Did I read Brother Voodoo?
We talked about it.
I think we talked to him, but I don't think I read him. All right, we'll do Brother Voodoo.
All right.
We'll just go down the list. Okay. So he was created by Len Wein and Gene Colan. He debuted in Strange Tales number 169, Marvel Comics, September 1973. He's also known as Lord of the Loa, he who has died twice, the Hungan Supreme. Shed one drop of that child's blood, and I will surely destroy you. We are talking about Brother Voodoo. All right. So the cover blurs on Brother Voodoo's debut appearance announced the senses-staggering superhero who died, yet lives again. Brother Voodoo popped up at a time when death was more of a rarity in comics than it is today. The Comics Code Authority, the industry's once powerful self-censoring group, had put strict limitations on the amount of straight-up morbidity comics could embrace. Death was one of the authority's bugaboos, as was voodoo, and more specifically, zombies. But the 1970s saw a waning of the CCA's influence. Code or no code, a voodoo superhero was practically an inevitability, given how quickly various werewolves, vampires, and Frankensteins were being grabbed up for other titles. The hero known as Brother Voodoo is Jericho Drum, a Haitian-born psychologist living and working in New York City. At the beginning of the story, he's utterly disinterested in mysticism and the supernatural. But when a novitiate of the serpent god Damballa murders his brother Daniel, the original Brother Voodoo, Jericho is summoned back to Port-au-Prince to take his place. In lieu of repeating his brother's arduous training in the mysteries of voodoo, Jericho is magically saddled with Daniel's spirit in a sort of Cliff's Notes method of acquiring mastery of the mystic arts, and mastery he gets. Brother Voodoo has access to just about any power under the sun. He can impart inorganic objects with life, heal injuries and illnesses, and transport himself instantaneously across distances. And that's just for starters. He also boasts a ghostly sidekick in the form of his departed brother. More unusual than that, Brother Voodoo is the exceptionally rare Afro-Caribbean hero, of which there can't be more than a half dozen in the history of American comics. Unfortunately, what makes a superhero unique at first can become repetitive in time. After his debut, Brother Voodoo seemed locked into a cycle. With no title to call his own, he made only guest appearances in other heroes' books when voodoo-related menaces reared their ugly heads. Since no one ever thought to call on Brother Voodoo to help fight Magneto or Doctor Doom, his only chance to shine was in the rare instance of a Caribbean zombie cult causing trouble. In the end, this once unique hero was reduced to a rarely seen cliche. Now hold on a minute. Why wouldn't you call on Brother Voodoo to help you fight Magneto?
I think that would have been awesome. Where he was filling in for the Sorcerer Supreme.
That's right. Hold on, Magneto. We've got an angle that we got somebody you wouldn't expect. Hey, man, I'm Brother Voodoo. I got, what the hell? I got something for you, man. What is that?
Well, like
doll.
This. Recently, he filled the role as Sorcerer Supreme. This was before the death.
There you go.
So
there you go.
They gave him a run.
How'd he do?
You will note that Clea is now at the moment the Sorcerer Supreme.
Oh.
Which
you
I still say...
I'm going to get $50 for all of you. I'm going to jab you all.
Which I still say is the better choice considering the history of Clea.
Yeah. History's mystery. Yeah. I think it would have worked out better. Can you imagine that? Brother Voodoo, how are we going to stop Dormammu? I made this voodoo doll of him. Watch this. Ow! Stop it. Ow! Stop it. All right, I quit. You win. I saved the day.
Well, considering if Squirrel Girl can do it, why not? If Squirrel Girl can do it, why not?
That's right.
You know,
these are heroes. Enormous squirrel.
There's like Squirrel Girl Anonymous here. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome our new member of Squirrel Girls Anonymous. This is Galactus. Galactus, say hello. I will swallow all.
Hi.
Hi, Galactus. My name is Dr. Doom. And somehow,
I'm Galactus.
Some way,
I was beaten by Squirrel Girl.
And I was beaten by
Squirrel. My name is Galactus. I'm the Eater of Worlds. I was beaten by a girl who controls an army of squirrels. I'm so embarrassed. My stepdad walked in when I said that line, too. I don't know if he heard me or he just, like, I'm ignoring that. I'm not paying attention. Wild card waved at you.
Hey, Wild, how you doing?
He kind of looks like Deadpool.
But, like, what?
Is he like Deadpool?
Know, if they ever bring back the what the, now for those who don't know, Marvel had a one or two page thing at the end of every comic called What The. And it's kind of a comedy skit. I would love to see the Squirrel Girl Anonymous group. You know, all these supervillains, Magneto, Dr. Doom, this Thanos. You know, like, I was defeated by Squirrel Girl. And you know, they get, you know, got this one thing where they all got to hold hand. You know, being beaten by Squirrel Girl is not bad.
It's just a
learning experience. We learn from our mistakes. We will never get beaten by Squirrel Girl again.
Unfortunately, nobody realized Squirrel Girl's squirrels were infused with the power cosmic.
Natalia Kromskov. It's embarrassing, though. We got to do a skit.
It's Rodent Chick. It's Rodent Girl.
We got to do a skit of that.
Okay, so we got about less than 10 minutes because Ned Viking has to get out of here so he could do the Greatest Generation podcast.
On Dawn Radio at dawnradio.live.
Dawn.
Cheap pop.
Embrace the dawn. Embrace the dawn. At 9:30 exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, but we got to do a skit. The Squirrel Girl, yes. Anonymous.
That would be fine.
If it's not been done already.
Oh, no.
We got to take a look then.
So it'll be Dr. Doom, Galactus, Dormammu.
I just couldn't snap her out of existence. I tried.
I went to snap, and then those squirrels got on my hands. They started nipping at my fingers. Holly is barking in the background, by the way.
It's like I am the master of magnetism, and I could not beat Squirrel Girl.
There's no metal in squirrels. I didn't know. They just kept charging at me. They were chittering and laughing at me. They were mocking me. I couldn't stop them. Two of them climbed up into my helmet.
Galactus going like, try having them going down your pants. Not a pleasant feeling.
I wear a bodysuit. One even got down there. I don't know how. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hello?
I'm just trying to find the list.
You know what happened?
Who...
No. You got really quiet. I think when I was moving, I accidentally lowered my headset volume. I'm like, why is it so quiet? Okay. There we go.
All right. Who has Squirrel Girl defeated? Okay. Here it comes.
Okay.
The 10 most powerful villains Squirrel Girl has defeated. Here
okay.
we go. Deadpool. Oh,
wow.
Kraven the Hunter. MODOK. Baron Mordo. Fing Fang Foom. Dr. Doom. Korvac.
That's funny.
Eagle
really?
The Living Planet. Galactus.
Wow.
And Thanos.
Okay. Wait, how did it defeat Ego? What did they do? The Skrulls just like kept rampaging over the planet and just
I just saw the names. I didn't read the
That's funny.
Really? How?
That's funny.
It's like Kraven I can somewhat see, you know, good distraction and
right.
Oh, look, Spider-Man.
Some of them.
That'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Thanos, Galactus, Doctor Doom.
Old Skrull's got it in his armor.
You know, I'm just kind of, you know how they do, you know, Wolverine kills the Marvel Universe and Deadpool
right.
kills the Marvel. You're now waiting for Squirrel Girl.
But how many squirrels does she control? You know.
I don't know. All right.
Because
well,
you know,
it is that
I know
time.
She has a couple. All right. Hold on. Because I know she has a couple as her personal pets. But
mm-hmm.
how many can she actually control and you know summon? Because Ego's a planet, and unless he's got like she must have summoned like every squirrel. On that planet.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Like, did you see the new the Suicide Squad, the James Gunn, the Suicide Squad?
Mm-hmm.
At the end, when Ratcatcher 2 uses that device.
Yep.
And summons every rat in the city to go after Starro, and he's like, "Oh no, no, it's not my city, it's not your city, it's not his city, it's their city." He's like, oh, no. He bends over hiding. because he knows, and she summons every rat in the city, and there's a stampede of them. Like that, that's what I mean. Like, she summons, like, a stampede of, like, squirrels. So, okay, so we're going to end a few minutes early. I hope everybody had a happy Passover, happy Easter, happy, what I call happy, the Batman Day, because when it started on HBO Max today. I implore you, if you haven't seen it yet, go watch The Batman. Basically, it's year two Batman. If you follow this year, you know what I'm talking about. It's He's still developing, but he's more developed than like a Batman Begins type thing. He's got the bat. Right away off the bat, he explains, we had the bat signal. He's got his bat belt. He has some devices, but not his full arsenal of gadgets and weaponry in his bat belt yet. He has the motorcycle. He has a bat bike, bat cycle. Doesn't have everything yet. Doesn't have everything fully developed. So just keep that in mind. Like I said, I think if they do a next movie, it should be like year three. And then, you know, if they do a trilogy, by the end of the trilogy, he should be fully developed Batman. So definitely like a year two movie type thing. So there you go. See you like that. Enjoy it.
Okay.
I'm going to go watch it. I'm probably going to watch it tomorrow morning. I was going to watch it tonight, but Raw's on, and I'm going to watch it tomorrow morning. I'll watch it tomorrow. So I had a busy day today. I want to thank Matt Viking for co-hosting. Thank everybody tuning in tonight. Hope everybody enjoyed their weekend again. Oh, shit, 90 seconds. Sorry. Really quickly, go read those comic books. Read those superhero novels if you can. Watch those other superhero TV shows, those other superhero movies. Definitely The Batman should be on your list this week. All right. Have a great night, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next week for more Paragon Radio. Tune in to Dawn Radio. Embrace the Dawn. Anything you'd like to say in closing, Mad Viking?
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie, and we're out of here. We'll see you next time for more. All right, 60 seconds. You can get out of here. I'll end the show right now. Have a good night, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. You guys rock. And that's a wrap. Good night, everybody.